All right, welcome back after a brief hiatus. If it's a hiatus, it was brief. But welcome back to another episode.
I always thought that meant it was like restful.
A hiatus?
Yeah, like a restful pause.
Oh, now I got to look it up. I thought a hiatus was like, wait, maybe a furlough is like a long time. Hiatus. Didn't even make it through the intro and I'm Googling something. Hiatus is a pause or a gap in a sequence, series, or process. A break between two vowels.
Oh, I guess I was wrong.
A pause or gap in a sequence, series, or process. There was a brief hiatus in the war with France. That's the example it gives. Well, welcome back after a hiatus to another episode of Everyday Ecclesiology. I'm Daniel Greenhall.
And I'm Desiree Greenhall.
You might have forgotten that. It's been a while. And our goal in this podcast...
It's been a while since I've been Desiree Greenhall.
Since we've announced it.
Oh, okay.
Our goal in this podcast is to explore what it looks like for the body, that is the church, to build itself up in love. Oftentimes that ends up looking at three segments. We've already looked at the first one, which would make four, who we are. We'll also look at what we're doing. So we'll share a little bit about what's going on in our lives, what we're doing in our own lives. Am I too loud?
I don't know.
I might be too loud. It might just be my headphones. I'm wearing my new headphones. We'll get to that. What we're doing, what we're learning, because as believers in Christ, we are still this side of perfect sanctification. We're still this side of perfection, this side of heaven. So we're still growing, learning. So we'll share a little bit about what we've been learning. That can take some various forms. Tonight it's going to be a catechism that we're looking at. And lastly, we'll share what we're reading because that's one of the main ways that we're still learning.
Yep.
Those are our segments. So first off, what are we doing? We've had roughly 6 months. I didn't actually look at when the last podcast was published, but it's been a while. We mentioned
about 4 months, I believe.
Let's see. Published February 24th was the last one. February, March, April, May, June, May. 3 months. March, April, May?
Yep.
Yeah, so three. Months. But before that, it was like 2 weeks.
Every 2 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of 2 week stuff. Well, we just have kids and nap schedules. And for a while, something had to go because we didn't have time during their naps to do anything other than survive with a nap.
Yeah.
Or clean up the house so that we could be ready or get chores done that we couldn't do while they were awake and something had to give, or we had to pay a babysitter and we didn't really have opportunity to just pay a babysitter every week for a while. So we just gave up podcast for a while. It was a bummer. I missed getting down here and doing this. So did Desiree. She helps motivate me to get back down here and work on prepping and everything. So it's good to be back for a little while. I don't know if we're going to be officially weekly yet, but we're going to post whenever we can, just like we have been doing, which has been no time in the past 3 months.
Yeah.
But we're going to post as much as we can whenever we get time, especially with kids' naps potentially lining up a little bit more, but we'll see how that goes. We also have some different stuff going on with church. I'm a deacon at church now. I don't think anybody on the podcast knew that at this point. There's some people that listen that might know otherwise, but that takes up time, which it should. If I'm assisting the pastor as a deacon should, then that will take time, more time than not being one. But we can potentially dive more into deacons later. I'm reading a book on deacons by Smethurst. I think that's how I pronounce the last name. I had picked it up before, but I'm still reading it. I'll get to that later. But that's one thing new. We've also been reading some stuff. You put reading on here. Do you care to explain that?
I did?
Yeah.
On what we're doing?
Yep. That was the first thing you said. You put reading.
Oh.
You don't remember?
I have no idea.
Okay. Well, we've been reading. Well, we've been reading La Piñata de la Nata.
Yeah.
That one was fun.
Learning Spanish. I suppose that could be one of the what we're doing. Daniel's got a class he gets paid to take to learn Spanish.
Through work.
And
it's
here just trying to keep my streak going on Duolingo.
Yep. It's been fun, though. I only have one more class period. Tomorrow is actually the last one.
And you're a little disappointed that it's over.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. We'd been working on Spanish for a little while, and it was nice to actually get classroom experience with it, which is funny, but to like actually look forward to classroom when so many people actually want to get out of the classroom. But I really enjoyed it, especially since it's something that I wanted to learn and had been working on. To have a teacher to ask questions to was really helpful.
Mm-hmm.
It actually helped me understand a little bit better the importance of like book learning versus classroom learning.
Yeah.
And I knew there was a difference before, but this helps me give experience trying to do things one way without having like a person to interact with. And I know a little bit more of the struggle that goes along with it. But that's, I guess, one thing we've been reading. That's been fun. It's a funny little book.
Yep.
All right. What else? You put down that I have new podcast headphones, and yes, I'm wearing them, and I like them.
Which is funny, because we didn't just buy them, and that's what got us to podcast again, because actually, they came in right before we, sorry, your cough threw me off.
Oh, sorry
right
about
before
that.
We decided to take a pause on the podcast, so your new headphones just sitting around.
Yep. I got to use them for music. They sound real good for music. Yep. They have a very, very nice flat sound signature. If you know, you know, but they just, they give a very accurate representation of what's actually going on in whatever you're listening to. They don't intentionally boost the highs or the lows or add more thump to the bass or anything like that. It's very clean, crisp, and accurate, which is helpful. They give transparency, kind of like coffee brewing.
Let's not get into that.
Okay, we'll get into that another time. Hey, it's called What We're Doing. I've brewed a lot of coffee since last time. All right.
That's probably enough for what we're doing. We can save any more for next week.
Okay, I suppose. There are three more things
in
there.
I don't know. I've just listed a bunch of stuff.
I'll give them a teaser.
Okay.
You put down post-anniversary slump.
Oh, yeah.
Working out. Yep. And yard work.
Yeah.
Those are the same thing, working out in the yard. That's what I always told people when I was in school. They're like, do you work out? I'm like, I work out on a farm. Outside in the sun, they're like, oh, that doesn't count. I'm like, okay. All right. That's a little bit of what we're doing. But what about what we're learning? We've had 6 months. Have we learned anything?
I'd hope so.
Yeah. But what we're working on today is actually a catechism. This is the second to last catechism in the theology proper. I put that down. Looking at theology of God. We've had several questions there. If you've missed them, well, I don't know why you're starting at this question. That's a little odd. You should probably go back and listen to those. To name a couple, we had, how does God accomplish his plan? Let me try that again.
Yeah.
How does God accomplish his plan for all things? How does God relate to all things? Why did God make all things? And a couple others.
Cool.
So a couple theology proper questions. So this question is a little odd. It's one that is one that you need to know what we've been talking about so far to be able to have an idea of what the question is asking. But what's the question today?
What does the Bible teach about God?
That's the big broad question.
Oh.
That's asking.
Oh.
We're looking at theology okay. proper. But what specific question about God are we looking at? And by specific, I mean broad.
What else is God like?
Yeah.
Which is weird.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to get into this one.
Yeah. Basically, you could take that wherever you want.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of a... It can serve as kind of a catch-all question for, hey, here's a couple other important points that we want to make sure we look at.
Is it a trick question?
I don't think so.
Okay.
But we've looked at a couple things, and this is just one more. So, not a very specific question, one that you could ask somebody, and they'd be like, well, I can tell you a lot of other things. But we're going to look at one specific answer today, and that is, ooh, a yawn, apparently. Big yawn.
Yeah, I need to have my own little controller so I can mute my mic every time I need to swallow or yawn or everything.
Sorry.
That's okay.
Okay, so what's the answer to the question that we're looking at?
God is spirit and cannot be seen by anyone. He is great and perfect in all he is and in all his ways. He is holy, wise, powerful, right, good, and true.
Yep. And we're looking at a couple scriptures for this. The main scripture is Exodus 15:11, which reads, who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glorious deeds, doing wonders? So that's the main question. And we're going to read some supporting texts. I got to scroll down to the bottom here. There's going to be several footnotes. I'll include the references in the description. I think I've managed to remember to do that for all of them, but I'm not going to include all the entire verse for each of them. I did that at one point, but that's just too much typing. You can look up the verses on your own. We're going to read them here, but I'll at least put down the references. That gives you a way to look things up. So footnote number one is John 4, verse 24, which reads, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth.
Number two, 1 Timothy 6:16, who alone has immortality? Who dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen.
Yep. Number three is John 1:18. No one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known.
Number four, Deuteronomy 10:17. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great, the mighty, and the awesome God, who is not partial and takes no bribe.
Deuteronomy 32:4. The rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are justice. A God is a God of faithfulness and without iniquity, just and upright is he.
Number 6, Isaiah 6, verse 3. And one called to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.
Number 7 is Romans 11, verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments, and how inscrutable his ways.
Number 8, Jeremiah 32, verse 17. Ah, Lord God, it is you who have made the heavens and the earth by your great power.
I want to break into song when you read that.
Sorry. It is you who have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and by your outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you.
Do you think of a song whenever you read that? Wait, do you know the song for that?
Ah, Lord God.
Yeah, that one. Yeah. Okay. I was like, wait, I hope you know the song I'm referencing. Yep. As soon as I read it, I think of it. All right. Number 9, Psalm 11:7. For the Lord is righteous. He loves righteous deeds. The upright shall behold his face.
Number 10, Psalm 100, verse 5. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations.
And John 17:17, sanctify them in the truth, your word is truth. All right. We read the scripture first, by the way. It's been a while. It's been a while for me. Maybe you discovered this podcast a week ago, and this is the year 2024, and you're just listening through them all, and you're like, what do you mean it's been a while? I just listened to the last one. But it's been a while, so I read the scripture first, because that can give us an idea of where we're going. Is that your timer? Do you have a timer set?
No, I don't hear a timer.
I thought you still had cookies in.
No, I pulled them out.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Do you hear a timer?
No, I thought I was hearing things. I'm probably just imagining things. No timer?
I don't think so.
Okay.
That's weird.
All right. I don't know what I was hearing.
You have the song stuck in your head, probably.
Yeah, that's true. So I want to read the scripture because the scripture is guiding how we answer the question. We're not just, well, the author, Pastor Danny, didn't just come up with something he wanted to say and then find scripture to support it. He looked at scripture and said, hey, this is the God I see in scripture. I want to reference that, and I want to explain this a little bit more. So when we read through the scripture first, we have an idea of where we're going, and we have scripture in our mind first, not someone else's thoughts first, and we're trying to make scripture fit. We can start with scripture and work to understanding it. Make sense?
Okay.
All right. Let's start on the explanation. You want to do the first paragraph, that way I can tell myself to slow down again while you're reading.
Sure. Exclamation.
Try again.
Explanation.
Excellent.
Maybe I shouldn't read this.
Oh, you'll be fine.
Oh, dear. Okay. We're almost done looking at the doctrine of God. But that doesn't mean we've covered everything that the Bible teaches about him. Not even close. While over the course of these questions and answers, we've summarized some of what the Bible says about God, this is just the beginning. Keep reading and studying your Bible, learning more about God every day, and ask questions and learn from those who know their Bibles and faithfully follow him.
Oh, that's funny. Sorry, finish the paragraph.
But before we move on to another doctrine, here are a few more descriptions of what God is like.
Remember at the beginning I was talking about the difference between learning and reading versus actually talking to someone who understands? Mm-hmm. That second to last sentence. This is just the beginning. Keep reading and studying your Bible, learning more about God every day, and ask questions and learn from those who know their Bibles. I was like, oh, that's funny. That's what I was just talking about.
Yeah.
Well, at least it's not a thought new to me. All right. So first off, we're going to look at the truth that God is spirit. We heard that a couple of times in the passages we read, so let's see how that's explained here. God is spirit. You and I, Desiree and I at least, and probably everyone listening to this, you and I have physical bodies. God does not. Now, before you start saying, but Christ, well, wait, hang on, we'll get there. We are both physical and spiritual, meaning each of us has a body and a soul or spirit. God is not either or, it's just that's other names. Like you can call it a soul, you can call it a spirit. We won't delve into differences or similarities between the two, but
that's a big conversation.
It's just in parentheses, soul/spirit. We're just going to leave it at that. God is only spirit, and he always has been and always will be only spirit. What this means is that he doesn't have a shape or form. He's not made up of molecules, and he cannot be seen. God further tells us that, both because he is spirit, and because as spirit he is God, we who are not like him can't see him and live. That's Exodus 33, if we want to look there. Because we are so used to experiencing life as physical beings, we might think that, as spirit, God can't experience things like we do, or is somehow less real than we are. Excuse me. But the opposite is actually true. He's limited by nothing, and he's more real than we are, for he's the very substance and source of all life. So what about when the Bible talks about God's eyes, ears, hands, arms, or feet, or even nose, like in Psalm 18? Because we are physical beings and are far inferior to God, including our ability to understand, he often describes himself in ways that we can understand. He uses physical features. Did I miss something?
Nope.
Okay.
Sorry.
He often describes himself in ways that we can understand. He uses physical features, which he does not have and does not need, to describe what is no less true of him to help us understand that he does, for example, see, hear, and reach out, just not physically. Why does it matter that we know that God is spirit? Well, this is what God is, and we should always want to know God accurately. But even more, if this is what God is, then we should not make for ourselves, either by our hands or by our imagination, we should not make for ourselves any form of him that is anything less than what he truly is. Further, if this is what God is, then we should look to Jesus Christ, who is the way God has planned for us to see and know him.
That was a helpful explanation. How he is a spirit. How did he say it on the other page? God does not have a body.
Correct.
But how the Bible says uses God's hand, etc.
Yeah.
I know somebody had tried to explain that to me before, and I couldn't really remember their reasoning, but this was a helpful way of explaining that.
Mm-hmm. And oftentimes, I don't know this for sure. I should look at the passages specifically to make sure that it's not... Well, I know some of the times when that's talking about God extending his hand, it's used in like a psalm, which is poetry. So we understand that in poetry, like psalms, there's often going to be imagery. And yeah, we interpret things literally, but we know that it's literally poetry.
Yeah.
So that's the easier side of things. But yes, understanding that he wants to communicate in ways that we can understand. Okay. Number two, God is great and perfect.
And I didn't list when any of the verses.
Yeah, I forgot. The first three cross references were in there.
Are you going to keep reading?
No, I'm going to take a break, unless you want me to keep reading.
Nope, that's fine. I just didn't know if you wanted me to list the references or not.
Yeah, do better than me.
Okay.
God is great and perfect.
God is great and perfect. These two characteristics of God help us understand the fullness of all that God is. He is great. And he is perfect. What is greatness?
You forgot.
What? Oops. You told me. He is great, reference number 4. And he is perfect, reference number 5.
He doesn't forget cross references like Desiree and I.
What is greatness? We often use great to refer to things that are big. Big, especially in comparison with other things, like an elephant compared to a mouse. And while we do think of bigness in terms of physical size, we also think of bigness in other ways as well. For example, when we say that an activity or a gift is great, we aren't actually saying that it is physically big, but that it is big in terms of its meaning, value, or impact.
So there are different aspects or classifications of big. Big in regard to physicality, meaning, value, impact.
You mean great?
He used the word big.
Yeah, he's using both.
Yep. Sorry. I cut you off.
Yeah, he's using both, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Big, too.
To be sure.
To be sure, God is big, the biggest being of all beings and all things. Yet, he is not physically big. Rather, he's big, or great, in the sense that nothing comes close to the immensity of who he is, what he has done, and what he can do. There's nowhere where he is not. There's nothing that he cannot do, and there is no one who is like him. How do you describe these characteristics of God except with the word great? He is great in all he is as God, which includes being great in all of his individual characteristics. So, for example, we are told that God is love, 1 John 4:8. And because he is great, he is also great in love, and his love is great, Psalm 57:10. What about perfect? God is great and perfect. It's one thing for something to be big. It's another thing for that same thing to be absolutely perfect in all that it is. We use perfect to describe something that has no flaws, no mistakes, no blemishes. Perfect means being exactly what a thing needs to be in order to be best of its kind. Perfection means you can't improve on it. It couldn't be any better. And that's God. He's the best that he could be. He's the best that anything could be. And so, he's the perfect standard of bestness to... I don't know how to read that sentence.
And so, he's the perfect standard of bestness to all things measure up to him.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
He is always perfect, and his ways are always perfect. There is no error in him and no error in anything that he does. Like his greatness, God's perfection describes him as God, but it also describes his individual characteristics. So again, take his love for example. He is perfect, which means his love is also perfect. Unlike our love, his love never falters, fails, or fumbles. It's always perfect, exactly what it should be.
Yeah. That's helpful too. I mean, I could say that about most of the stuff I read in here, but it was helpful too.
Yep.
The conjunction of bigness and perfection, perfection is impossible. Perfection is impossible for us currently. Perfection is impossible for anything we make because we ourselves are imperfect as well. We can do things that are big, but then again, big is always a relative term, right? Relative to something
right.
else. We're big compared to an ant. A house is big compared to us. The world is big compared to a house. God is big compared to the world.
Yeah.
It pretty much stops there. But like, there isn't anything that's like, oh yeah, God is small compared to that. No.
Right.
And he is the biggest and he is perfect.
And even if anything bigger is created, God's bigger. Like, mm-hmm. if the humans ever think, oh, this thing is bigger than our universe.
Yeah.
No, God's still bigger.
And greater in every way, unless you're talking about greater at working evil, but that's not God. But that's not really greater. It's actually just being worse, putting it in different words. Anyway, I think I'm working too far down a rabbit hole. Next paragraph, you had great and perfect, and I have holy, wise, powerful, right, good, and true. So
don't forget all your reference numbers.
I know. I'm not perfect, but I'll try. All right. God
I'll do great.
I'll do great. There we go. God is holy, wise, powerful, right, good, and true. If you couldn't remember those, it's okay. We're going to get to them again. We round out this question with 6 additional characteristics of God. There are certainly more characteristics mentioned in the Bible, including, as we noted above, the love of God, but some of them will come up later when we explore other doctrines. For now, we'll briefly discuss these. First, God is holy, cross-reference 6. What is holiness? Holiness means separated from all sin, for purity and honor. It also includes the idea of being not ordinary or common, but special. I think that's a helpful explanation. Holy has the idea of set apart, but it's set apart from something into something, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he's set apart, he's separated from all sin, and he's set apart for purity and honor.
Yeah, I like that.
It's helpful that it fills in both sides mm-hmm. of the separation. But God is also wise, cross-reference 7. Wisdom is knowing what to do and how to do it. But even more, God, in his wisdom, knows what is best to do in any situation with anything and how best to do it. And then he actually does what is best. All right, God is powerful, 8, cross-reference 8. Power is the ability to do something. The Bible tells us that God is The Bible tells us that not only is God powerful, he is all-powerful. That'd be omnipotent. Or omnipotent, if you want to break it down into like the prefix and actual blanket word. That's why I say it like that, because it's actually helpful. There's no one stronger than him, and there's nothing too difficult for him. Further, God is right, cross-reference number 9. When the Bible talks about rightness, or righteousness, or even justice, it means there is a right way and a wrong way. For God to be righteous means that he always does what is right, and he is always the standard for what is right, and in the end, he will make sure everything is handled rightly. God is good, cross-reference 10. What is goodness? This is a very good question. It's a good question. I didn't mean to make the pun, but I realized I was making it. It's a question that basically every movie we watch has wrong.
What is goodness?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's what our society has wrong right now.
So what is goodness? While we may use good frequently, it's not the easiest to define. Ultimately, goodness is the quality of being worthy of praise or approval. It is being and doing that which is fitting, appropriate, and well-pleasing. And like all of his characteristics, God's goodness means that he determines what is good, and he is a good-doing God. Finally, God is true, cross-reference 11. We've already seen that God is the only true God, but even farther, for God to be true means that he is both truthful and faithful. He never lies, he is the final standard of all truth, and he is completely trustworthy. We can, and should, always take him at his word, knowing that he'll always keep his word.
This is what the Bible teaches about God.
Yep. I think there are some helpful definitions in there that are worth referencing. Unfortunately, you guys only have it in audio form, but, you know, listen to it several times.
Maybe someday we'll start doing videos, too. Then you can have it.
Oh, dear. We lose listeners.
You can watch how many times Desiree yawns.
And have to actually wear pants.
You're wearing pants.
I'm wearing shorts. I'm not wearing pants. I'd wear pants.
Don't give people the wrong impression here.
Yeah. Okay. That was helpful. Like I said, there were some helpful distinctions that I pointed out. There were some good questions.
Yep.
Oh, okay. Not even going to laugh at my pun. I thought it was funny. You smiled at my pun, but they can't hear your smile.
It's because you've been doing it several times.
I know, but I still like it. John Hendricks will laugh at my pun.
Yeah.
Thanks, John. Appreciate you. All right. That's what we're learning. That was actually my second time reading through that. I had read through it when it first came out, but it came out, I don't know.
The Catechism?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know when it was created, but I know when it was sent to our email.
Like 2021?
Yeah, March 19th, 2021.
Oh, it says at the top?
At 5:58 p.m.
Oh, I was looking on the left side and it's on the right side. Well, you got it. Good job.
You did mention that this was Capon's Catechism, mm-hmm. correct?
We're still in Capon's Catechism.
I just want to give credit to where credit is due.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, I got a cough.
Cough.
Thanks. Thanks for filling in those blanks. All right. That was third segment, what we're learning. Lastly, what else are we learning through reading? What are we reading? I forgot, what are we drinking? You're just drinking water.
Oh, yeah.
It's not an official segment.
We normally have a nice hot drink, but it's summertime.
Yeah. It's cold in our basement, and I was going to make Dad's hot chocolate, but Dad's always like, I'm not in the mood. So
I ate a lot of supper because it was my favorite.
Yeah. I'm glad you liked supper. It was good.
I am reading Trusting God.
Oh, yeah. You can't see the notes. Sorry about that.
Read through. That's okay. I just started on my chapter for the Bible study coming up.
That's by Jerry Bridges?
Mm-hmm. I'm in the middle of other books. I just haven't had time to sit and read them. Like, I'm trying to get by with the books that I'm actually in studies for.
Well, we have a 2-year-old and a 6-month-old.
Yeah. I have a lot more time to listen to books. I just don't have access to many books without paying for them. Like audiobooks.
Okay, audiobooks, yes. Yeah.
So that's why I don't get much reading done.
Yeah. I'm working through, well, we're both working through, probably me a little bit more than you, Gentle and Lowly by Dane C. Ortlund.
Mm-hmm.
That's for small groups at church. That's a book we're working through together. I'll give a full review once I finish it.
Yeah, you should.
Yeah. There's been some helpful things in it. There's been some things that are a little harder to understand. Some things that are harder to understand what the author's trying to communicate at times. But on the whole, I've appreciated the book. It's probably not a book that I would naturally gravitate towards.
Yeah. That's what I've heard a lot of people say.
Yeah. But it's, If you understand the intended audience, it can be very helpful, I think. And I've appreciated it. And I've started reading The Hobbit by Tolkien.
Yeah.
I made it through chapter 1. And it's hard. I wish I had read the books first. I don't think I would, if I were to go back, I would ever really, I guess I could have waited to watch the movies, but we, I don't know. It's fine. It's hard for me now reading the books. This is my one regret about watching movies first, is that now when I read the books, I picture the character from the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish I could just imagine it on my own and play things out on my own and not just imagine the battles as I'd already seen them and the interaction as I'd already seen it and the songs as I'd already seen them done.
That's weird, because when I was reading the Lord of the Rings, or am reading,
yeah,
it was so different. The character description of Frodo to me was so different than in the movie that it was really easy for me to rewrite in my brain.
Yeah.
Or even just treat it as something different.
I remember when I was reading some descriptions that I'm like, oh, that's a different description than I remember in the movie. But then as I move on, I still have that movie one imprinted.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's just what I use.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a bummer, but it's fine. I still like reading through it and having something to read. I'll unmute you. And then Sophia.
Wait, was I muted for that whole time?
No.
Oh. Okay.
It looked like you were going to blow your nose, so I muted you. And lastly, we have some stuff that Sophia's reading. She's working through The Ology. It's a book that was recommended to us, and I really appreciate it. It's intended for people a little older than Sophia,
yeah,
but she listens to it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's working through very, very short snippets of understanding theology,
mm-hmm.
but it's not, hence the name The Ology. It's more written story-ish like, or little snippet, brief synopsis style, not like, hey, we're going to work through the doctrine of this. It kind of is, but it kind of isn't.
Yeah.
So it's aimed at kids, but helping them break down theology into not like theology textbooks like we read in college.
Dip their toes into theology.
Mm-hmm. It helps quite a bit. And there's different ways that we can use the book down the road. And she's loved going through the biggest story.
Yeah. She likes that one, despite the art being very different.
The art is very different.
I wonder if it's just because it's very colorful and bold.
And when I read it, I interact with her a lot about repeating names
true.
And pointing to people.
She
and
probably likes that.
And telling her, this is a snake and this is the snake crusher, since that's the two things in there. Or this is Abraham. And she says, Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
She tries really hard to repeat the names and things. So she has fun. She loves doing that. So mm-hmm. that's probably why she likes them, because I interact really well in those books. And she really likes it. So I don't know how much she's getting out of it, but lately she's been singing everything that she's been hearing, so I'm sure I'm going to hear songs about theology for too very long.
What was it when we were disc golfing today?
Oh, something about you getting a double bogey. She was singing about double bogey.
Which is you two shots over par.
Yeah.
And she's like, double bogey.
Yeah. I was like, what is she singing? And I listened to him like, oh, you're funny, kid. But that's about all we're reading. That's a couple things of what we're doing, and gave you a preview of some other things we've been doing that we can talk about next week. But
yeah. I'm excited to be back, so hopefully we can stay on top of things.
Yeah, hopefully we can stay up with it. I'm not getting my hopes too high, because just because kids have a good day one day doesn't mean they're going to have a good day for the next 2 months.
Yeah, but now, compared to when we were podcasting, at least I know for sure, as long as there's no sickness involved, that every kid is sleeping through the night. So that's
true. Yeah, so evenings work a little bit more.
Because before then, it was like, as soon as I put the kids to bed, I wanted to go to bed because I knew I'd have to be up soon. But now it's not that big of a deal.
Yep. Yeah, so it's much more manageable now. Hopefully we have the time to add this back in consistently, but we'll see. Yeah. I'm not making any promises, because I've made them and fallen through before. So we'll see. I hope that it works out really well. And I'm really excited to use my headphones, so it probably will. All right. But until next time, thanks for listening, and keep serving, or start serving within your local church. Bye.
Bye.